This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? What a blessing for me to see a whole group of people out there, the crowd filling up. Praise God for more students coming to CIU. Listen, my name's Adrian, but my wife's name is Lisa. Have I said this before? Yeah, who's your daddy? That's what I want to know. She's 5'4", comes up about right here. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a righteous fox. Cha-ching. It's Beauty and the Beast. You can figure out which one's which, but I just wanted you to know I'm deeply, desperately in love with my wife. I couldn't care less what you think about that. I'm 6'6" and pretty much do what I want, but I wanted you to know wherever Twigs is. I care what he thinks, but other than that, I don't care. But I just wanted you to know, I think men should brag about their wives, or as far as I'm concerned, they're half a man. Come on, gentlemen, you need to brag about your wives. Wherever you go, figure it out. Here, let's practice. I want all the married men to stand up right now. All the married men, stand up. Take your time. Hurry up. Let's go. All the married men, stand up. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to figure out what you're going to say. Then I want you to brag about your wives out loud for 10 seconds. All right? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to figure out what you're going to say. Then I want you to brag about your wives out loud for 10 seconds. Now, we have some boisterous people in the room, so I want you to be loud. But we have some calm people. I want you to be quiet. But I just want you to speak about how great your wife is. I don't know if you noticed that we're going longer than 5 seconds to figure out what you're going to say, but that's beside the point. That's because that's the way we are, okay? That's just our personality. Bless your hearts. So on your marks. Wait a minute. I'm not very good at math. Got to wait for the thing to get all the way around. Get set. Wait a minute. It's just 10 seconds. Just add a zero. Okay. Ready? Go. Yeah, man. 5, 4. Come on. Good job, gentlemen. Oh, dear. I'm going to talk about something that's very dear to my heart. I'm the vice president of Kingdom Building Ministries, and one of my jobs is to analyze potential itinerant speakers that come into Kingdom Building Ministries. Now, what you need to know is we get 45 applications a year, and we picked 2 people in the past 3 years. So that's 90, whatever that number is. The Lord has led us to 2 people. We think the Lord has led us to 2 people and out of 130 something people applications to be an itinerant speaker. So what I want to talk about today is calling. How do you know if you're called? What is calling? What does it look like? And I want to tell you, the reason why I want to tell you this morning is because I want to tell you my story and how I got called to preach at this school. While I was here at this school, my calling was made sure by God. So I want to talk about that. We're going to be in the book of Acts, A-X, chapter 13. It's on page 1689. Take your time. Hurry up. Let's go. Take your time. Hurry up. That's football language for those of you who don't know. Football players understand that. Can I get an amen? I didn't hear it. Praise the Lord. The speakers at our ministry, Kingdom Building Ministries, went to this one school, a Christian school, and we went there in the 90s several times. And great revivals hit the school, and it was a great time to watch the Lord pouring out His Spirit there. Great, you know, the kind of thing where you hear about stories where the students, they close down classes and the students are coming up and confessing sin on stage. We got to see a lot of that happen in the 90s at this particular school. At the end of the 90s, they did a survey on what the students wanted to do for a living, and 50% of the student body said they wanted to be itinerant speakers. 50% wanted to be an itinerant evangelist. And the reason why, I think the reason why, is because they were so moved by itinerant speakers coming in and seeing the Lord God Almighty move in their hearts. They were so moved by that they thought, I want to do that. Because somebody touched me. Like if you go through counseling and you get set free from an addiction, then you want to be a counselor. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's what happened. 50% of the student body there at that school wanted to be an itinerant evangelist because they were touched by that. My question is, what is a calling? Are you sure that you've been called? Are we mama called and daddy sent? We have to understand that ministry is tough. Ministry is hard. As an itinerant speaker, I spend about 200 days a year on the road. My wife is a single mom for 200 days a year. We have four kids. I have a son that's 6'5". I don't know where he gets it from. That was a joke. Appreciate you laughing. Now watch this now. I mean, it's on the road. See, I'm not giving you a sob story here. It is extremely lonely on the road. Dr. Jones, would you agree that many times it's lonely on the road? Not for you. You have your feet crossed in the airport doing about 17 different graphs. But I'm in the airport going, ah, gah, gah. We don't have the same mic up. And I'm in the airport going, I hate airports. I'm going, ah, gah. Because I want to be around people that I can talk to, and nobody in the airport wants to talk to me. I mean, I'll sit down next to somebody and go, hey, how you doing? They go, and they start walking away. And I start looking at myself going, what's going on? I mean, nobody in the airport wants to talk to me, and I want to talk to somebody because that's the makeup of my personality. But I mean, I'm extremely alone. Hotels are horrible. I've got to put a towel over the television, open my Bible up on top of the towel, put my wife and the kids' pictures around. I don't pray towards it or anything. I'm just telling you, I have to do that so I don't watch that stinking television. I mean, it is a horrible, horrible job sometimes. And then I heard a preacher tell me one time, I mean, this is amazing. He told me one time, just get through the first service. I mean, it was a big mega church, 10,000 member church. He said, just get through the first service. I looked at him and said, what are you talking about? Oh, they won't respond. But can you imagine preaching and nobody moving when you're done preaching? I mean, it happened to me one time when I was in Mexico, New Mexico. It's the newer one. And I gave the invitation and nobody, a church about this size here, nobody moved. I said, did I do something wrong? Let me make sure you understand the invitation. It's the kind of invitation, if you have socks on, you should be down at the front. And no one moved. I gave the invitation again to make sure they understood. Maybe it was my language. Maybe I talked too southern. Maybe I talked too fast. Do I talk too fast? I don't know what it was. So I slowed down and said, let me explain this invitation to you. A guy stood up in the middle of the crowd, an older gentleman, stood up and started cursing me out. In the middle of the invitation, well, you stick around. I got beep. I got a beep. I go, huh? Now, I played football in college. Do you understand me? The Lord has gifted me with mass. I don't know if I should put that on him or not, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, I mean, I'm an athlete. Is there something inside of me? I want to win. And he was starting to curse me. So I just dropped my head and said, oh, just take it. Just take it. It was killing me. This guy was cursing me during the invitation. Then he said, come on, sweetheart. We'll never be back at this church again. And he walked out the back door and slammed the back doors. An elderly woman in the back corner stood up. I went, oh, no. She said, have we gotten that far from Jesus? I went, huh? She takes her walker. I goes, clack, 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 clack. You ever heard those things when it's quiet in the church? And she goes, clack, 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 clack. It's all wooden church. So you're going to clack, 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 clack. She walks all the way down the front, and she takes her walker and goes, quack, 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 bam, hits the wall. And she falls on her knees, and it hurt. She went, ugh. And she starts, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm going, huh? I'm not just watching. So I said, Lord, something about to happen, so please. All of a sudden, everyone comes down to the front. I look up and go, huh? Then the preacher comes on stage. See, you know how he introduced me? He said, young man, I don't know who you are. I don't know how you got here either. That's how he's introduced me this way. I'll never forget it. But this is my pulpit. You be careful how you preach in my pulpit. You don't you say something I don't like. All right, come on up here and preach. That was it. That was my intro. Bless your hearts. He comes up on stage after the service and he just sobbed. And he said, God told me it's not my pulpit. It's his. And you can preach here anytime you want. All the people went, yeah! I went, huh! I mean, it's crazy on the road. And there are certain areas in the world where you could preach your guts out as a missionary and no one come to Christ. How can Jeremiah preach for 40 years without a convert? And he said it was burning inside of his bones to preach. You see, we equate calling with fruit today. If you have fruit, then boy, that's proof that you're cold. Well, there is some evidence in that. Don't get me wrong. That's not wrong to say that. But that's not what calling is. I mean, if you go, one of the greatest prayers I ever heard in my life. Actually, I'm getting a second hand from my brother Greg to pray. Graduate from here. Duper. He told me one of his girls from his youth ministry was called to the mission field. And she was going over to a Muslim area. And the father prayed the commissioning prayer. Lord, bless my daughter. Help her to understand this seed and cast it out with efficiently and effectively. Throw it out there. Help the soil to be fertile, Lord. If you need her to be a plow, then help her to turn the soil up well and let the next person comes alongside to cast the seed out there. But if it's rocky soil, Lord, and when Greg was telling me this story, he was tearing up just like I'm. Can you imagine praying this over your daughter? If it's rocky soil and you want my little girl to break in the soil, then be there close to her when she's crying and it hurts. And what does the calling do? I mean, what does it do to us? See, no matter if it's good or bad, it means zero. You are called and you go no matter what happens because of the glory of God. You love Him and you keep going. How many missionaries are coming back because there's no fruit? We don't go for fruit. We go because we're called. Now, what is a calling? Let's look at it here in the passage here. Very interesting. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. In the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Ah, I like that. Prophets and teachers. That's two of the offices. You know, God appointed some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's two of the offices. We have prophets and teachers. In other words, they can preach the paint off the wall. They're great communicators. Gifted by God. God has called some to be prophets and teachers. God called. And so, I mean, the paint, when they're preaching, goes. It was funny in my head, but let's keep going. I was all by myself there. See, you're still called. Keep preaching. Okay. So in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Literally is like a foster brother, grew up the same age with him. I mean, this would have been the five-star athlete here. This is the Tebow of the group. You don't know who that is. Let's keep going. Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Nah, still some suspicion about Saul, probably. But they've heard stories. They've seen what happened there in Antioch when he came up with Barnabas, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch there, and great revival broke out there. The sending church. So you have five men who are gifted by God to preach, communicate, prophets, teachers, very gifted. Five men. While they were worshiping, now they're probably talking about the five men and the church because they're at the church in Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, you have to understand that this is the calling. To me, this is the best passage in all of Scripture of what a calling is. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There it is. So let's analyze this. He didn't say, set apart for me Manaen, Simeon, Lucius. He didn't say, maybe they were called to a different ministry. We don't know. We don't have it recorded. But he said of these five, see, I'm not a humanist when it comes to calling. I care more about your future than I care about your feelings right now concerning your calling. Because if God calls you, it's going to be strong. But how do you know if you've been called or not? How do you know? Well, first thing, these guys were praying and fasting, seeking the Lord. And before that, Paul was trained like crazy. I mean, this is about, I mean, I've said, seen many different numbers between 10 and 15 years after Paul was converted. So he had been trained. There's a big difference between a teaspoon and a backhoe. You can dig a hole with both of them. But here at CIU, you're being turned into a backhoe. Beep, beep, beep. You're being trained. It's very important to be trained. Get as much scripture in you as possible. I have people coming up to me all the time saying, I want to do what you do. I tell them, hey, read the Bible. And then read it some more, and then read it some more, and read it some more. Develop a prayer life. Come up with your own journal. Tell people about Jesus. Read the Bible. Well, a fearful thing to handle the Word of God. What a fearful thing it is to handle the Word. Can you imagine standing before Jesus and saying you got that wrong? Can you imagine that? All the time people come up to me asking me, well, should I do this? Should I do this? I said, read the Bible, study, train. See, I was opposed to seminary. I was opposed to it. I was a youth pastor, a middle school youth pastor. What is that? Torture. And I loved it. Boy, I loved it. I took 110 middle schoolers to Myrtle Beach. We had three adult help. She was one of them. No, that was funny. Okay, now watch this now. I had three adult sponsors with me. Three adult sponsors with 110 middle schoolers. I almost quit the ministry after that. I mean, I couldn't organize my own. And you know what happened? You know why I decided the Lord was calling me to seminary and I felt like God called me to seminary or insisted or inspired me or said, kid, what are you doing? I mean, you know why? Because I ran out of messages. I'm sitting there looking at the Bible going, I don't know. Because I had, you know, I had a bunch of messages that I'd already written. And when I ran out of them 3 years later, I said, oh, no. And then it made sense to me. I need to go to seminary to be trained, to be taught on not just to learn the material, but to learn how to learn the material, to figure it out. I mean, I studied Zodiates for this message. You know who that is? I don't know. But he's got good stuff in him. And I don't mean to be making light of calling. Calling is very, very, very important to me. See, these guys, Paul, he was doing ministry. Right after he got saved, he was doing ministry. In the meantime, if you're not sure if you're called or not, if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, in the meantime, get after it. Do ministry. Don't sit around and wait for it. And all the testimonies that I've read about men and women who had these deeper movements with God and God made it clear to them and they were called in and it was boom, and I'm calling you, I'm doing this, I want you to go do this, I want you to go do this. And every one of them, they were seeking him desperately. I talked to Mickey Marvin last night. Played offensive line for the Oakland Raiders, two Super Bowl rings, big guy. In 2001, he felt like God called him to a deeper spiritual walk with him. He started sobbing, telling me about it. Because I knew I was preaching, I said, what were you doing just before that? He said, what do you mean? Well, what were you doing? He said, I was fasting. I said, before that. He said, I was praying a lot. I said, before that, I'm telling everybody I care about Jesus. I said, that's it. I've heard the phrase before, God can't drive a parked car. That's just crazy. He can drive a parked car. He can move it anywhere he wants. But it makes sense to me. I mean, let's just get after it. Come on, let's get. I mean, dude, look, in Acts chapter 8, who wrote that? Watch, in Acts 8, after the stoning of Stephen, great persecution broke out, and all except the apostles were scattered. And it says in verse 4, as they were scattered, as they're running for their lives, let's get out of here. As they were running for their lives, how you doing? Everything okay? I scared me too. As they're running for their lives, they preached the word wherever they went. Now, how many of them were called to preach the word? I don't know, maybe three or more. Sorry, doctor, everything going okay? Good. Now, watch this now. I can't get up here. Now, watch this now. That actually hurt. as they were scattered to preach the word wherever they go. I mean, think about it for a second. You're not in here just to be trained. While you're being trained, get after it. Do not take for granted you being here. And another thing. While I was in school here, I've heard people say, don't use your homework as your devotion. You know what I say to that? Hogwash. When I was studying the Minor Prophets, I was reading it as if I was being devoted to it. I was going, oh, this is the longest quiet time ever. I had a 3-year quiet time here. And that's the way I viewed it. Now listen, I came in on academic probation. The lights are on, but no one's home. Couple bricks short of a load. Few fries short of a Happy Meal. My elevator doesn't go to the top floor. But watch this now. Hey, listen, if it wasn't for football, I never would have played. But watch this now. That's not funny. I made almost a few B's. I think I made ones. I made almost straight A's the first semester, straight A's. I went into Dr. Mulholland's office and said, can I get off academic probation? I said, well, let's see. And I'm going, he looks through all my, he says, yeah. I don't think he said yeah, but he probably said yes. Why? Because I figured this stuff right here that I'm learning, I'm not just learning it to make a grade. This is for me to be trained so that way I can have an impact on somebody else. Maybe the Lord will use me. Let's get after it. So I studied my face off. I wanted to make straight A's, not for the grade, but for the effect of the calling. I want to be trained. Paul was trained for years studying in Arabia in the desert. And plus all of his studies when he was a Pharisee, memorizing tons of scripture, put it in his heart. Wow. So the scripture says here that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now watch that, it's the Holy Spirit who does the calling. In this passage, it's the Holy Spirit who does the calling. In reality today, it's the Holy Spirit who does the calling. Now look who he used here. He told the church, set apart from me, Paul and Barnabas. Because while they were fasting and praying and seeking the Lord, he said to the church, spoke to the church, you set apart from me, Paul and Barnabas, to the ministry to which I have called them. That word calling is the perfect indicative passive tense. Perfect meaning past action with ongoing results. Indicative, meaning it's perfect timing. The timing is God's timing. A long time ago, to which I've called them a long time ago. It's not like you could throw a surprise party for God. Surprise! I knew you were going to do that. I mean, he knows you better than you know you. And passive, it's done to the person. That's the calling. God thought of it a long time ago for you as an individual. The timing was perfect, and it will be done to you. You have to be aware of one thing, though, when you're called. You've got to be aware of pride. I have noticed something as a confession to you. The pride lately has been kicking my tail. And I've really been a jerk about it too sometimes. As if the Lord needs me. Beware of that, my friends. Now I'm taking action to, look at that, I'm taking action. Beware of pride when you've been called. It will hurt you, your family, the ministry. You see, I was begging God when I was here my first year. I was begging God. What a great experience I had here. These professors. One time I did a, at one time, it was last week, when I was speaking to the football team at University of South Carolina, or it was 2 weeks ago. Maybe it wasn't me. Okay, I was speaking to the football team at University of South Carolina, and I put on the board all the coaches' names and said, how many years have you been coaching Coach Spurrier? 31 years, 32 years. Coach Ellis, 35 years. Coach about 30 years. And so I added them all up as 222 years of experience. So I looked at the players and said, now listen, and the whole team comes to chapel, it's a voluntary chapel. They have to go out of their way to get there. It's pretty cool what's going on there. We're having like a spiritual revival on the team right now. The players, actually, we have the Lord's Prayer, which is a thing we do before the game. And they go, our Father who art in heaven, it's really fascinating. At the end, I'm going, what is that? You're killing me. But the players actually, at 7 minutes before the game, pull off to the side and the whole team goes to the corner and the players lead their own prayer time. And it's about 2 minutes long. Really neat what's going on. First time ever in 10 years of me doing this. I don't know why I told you that, but let's keep going. So we had 222 years. I looked at the players and said, now listen, if these coaches tell you anything, you have 222 years of experience behind that. 222 years of experience behind that. Have you ever thought about adding up the faculties? At Columbia International University, how long they've been ministering? Is Dr. Larkin in here? That guy taught me Greek, and he's the most brilliant man on the planet! On the planet! I mean, he has a library, I think, under his house. I've heard rumors about it. I've never been in there. I'd get lost. And he knows the references! He knows the references! Dr. Larkin, where is this? Oh, that's... I mean, think about it for a second. I'm sitting in class with Dr. Larkin teaching me. Dr. Holbert, oh my goodness, and Dr. Lehman. I mean, what in the world? He came in just before Dirk. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're talking years and years and years of ministry here. Tons of information. I used to sit in the front of class because I wanted to hear the students come down and ask their questions. You see, before I came to school here, I'd read the Bible through six times. The Lord just put in my heart, read the Bible, six times before I came to school here. So I thought, you know, I know the Bible, whatever. So I'm listening to these guys, and he asks them, you know, and when the Bible college and seminary students ask questions, it's like, what happens to the person in Guyana who, I mean, you know, they're asking that question. Sorry, I don't know what that was, but I'm back now, so just hush. The professor would give 17 references to it. I'm going, I took notes every class, at the end of class, on the questions. Why? Because I'm being trained for my calling. I didn't know my calling. Didn't know it. On Monday morning, though, here's how I got called. I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord God Almighty, I beg you to show me what I'm supposed to do in the ministry. I don't know. I'll be a pastor, a youth pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, or I'll go to medical school and be a medical missionary. That last one was more of a stretch. I got the lowest score in the history of Furman on the medical college aptitude test. Okay. But if God calls you, he can help, okay? Just settle down. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In God's providence there, they had had a testimony chapel set up for the next day, and I was one of the seven students picked to share his testimony in God's providence. I'm sharing my testimony. Dr. McQuick is sitting right there. You know, you just see it. And I share my testimony, and I get done with that. He walks up to me outside this door right over here, grabs me by the arm, and says, you're an evangelist. You need to go tell everybody. I went, huh? But I'm a skeptic, okay? I'm an honest skeptic, but I'm still a skeptic. You know, if you prove it to me, see, I'm thinking, even though this guy walks about 3 feet above the ground, he's not Jesus, so, you know, are you sure? Because I was just praying about this. The next day, that was Monday, Tuesday, now Wednesday morning. I'm driving down Main Street to go pray over I walked around the fraternity systems at University of South Carolina to pray for them back in 1989. And I'm walking around praying for at 6 a.m. with a bunch of guys. And by the way, when you're here, take advantage of it. You've got the the best international business school in the world here. So you have international students from all over coming in here. I love speaking at tangents, by the way. It's just a tangent. Just touch the circle and keep going. Watch us now. Take advantage of it. So I'm down there praying for, but on my way down there, the Lord, I can't explain this to you. The Lord called me. I don't know how to tell you. I don't know how. All I know is, wham! I started sobbing in my car. Laid out this, like, it's only happened to me twice in my life, so I can't say it's going to happen to everybody. I don't even know if it's going to happen. I don't know. It's not the normal, I'll say that. But he laid out this vision in front of me. I said, oh, yeah, oh, that's good. I yelled at a homeless guy, I'm supposed to be an evangelist! He went, So I kept on driving. That was Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I get home that night and tell Lisa I'm supposed to be an evangelist. She said, oh, that's awesome. How do we do that? Because she's smart. I said, I don't know. Squirrel! I don't know. What are you talking about? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning. Some of you are going to say, he's lying. I'm not lying. I get a phone call from a guy named Dwight Robertson from Kingdom Building Ministries. He said, Mick Veach told me about you. The Lord gave me favor to lead him to Christ, and I sent him down to CIU. Mick Veach went right after me in Testimony Chapel. He and I are good buddies. He's the president of SMF and just on fire for Christ, a fireball for the Lord. God had called him to the mission field. He's on fire. I said, you led Mick Veach to Christ? Yeah, how can I help you? He said, have you ever thought about being an attendant evangelist on our speaking staff? I went, ka-koom, dropped the phone. Picked it back up and said, who are you? What do you believe? Are you liberal, conservative? What do you believe? Because we had just done a mission statement in a theology class. So, I'm very interested in this stuff now. So he said, well, we had National Association of Evangelicals. I said, we studied that. That's pretty good. I like that one. Okay, what else? We talked for 3 hours. What I didn't know was what he was doing in the background on the phone. He had had a list, a page and a half of specific characteristics of the next speaker they wanted to bring on the team. And he had one application every 10 days and on average for the past year and a half, and all of them turned all of them down. Because he had this list that he felt like the Lord had given him. He just felt like the Lord had given him this, so it was on a list. While I was explaining to him the vision that God had laid out in front of me, he said to me 6 months later, he went down that list in order and checked them all off in order. And I knew that God was calling me. So even though I do care if people respond, I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see it happen. I do care that the Lord has given me favor to speak to literally a bunch of people. No, I don't want to say it because it feels prideful to me now. Even though that has happened, if no one comes to Christ, God has called me to be an evangelist. And I will preach my guts out for as long as I live. Now, if you haven't had that kind of experience, that's okay. It's okay. There may be different kinds of experiences in Scripture where the calling is a little more subtle. In the meantime, get after it. Don't worry about your calling. Worry messes things up. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Just do something. It's not like God's not going to make it clear to you. And if he doesn't make it clear to you, that's okay. How do you know just what? Does it line up with the Word of God? Now, if you feel like God's calling you to shoot your neighbor, just stop right there. The Bible says don't do that. That's easy. Does it line up with the Word of God? And then the next one, pray about it. Well, of course you're praying about it. Well, then fast and pray about it. Meditate. Take some water bottles and go to the woods. Don't know what that means. Let's keep going. Then seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. Wise counsel doesn't mean it's right. It just means it's wise. Saturate yourself with wise counsel. Get older men and women who have been there who you can ask questions to. I saturate myself with as much wise counsel as I can. And then number five, just do what you want. I like what St. Augustine said. Love God and do as you please. Isn't that what Psalm 37:4 says? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think what we're not doing there is when we worry, we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, so we can't get the calling that we want because we're worried about it. I think if there's anything I want you to get out of this, is in the meantime, before you get called, the calling is so strong and so powerful and so awesome. In the meantime, get after it. Keep ministering. Keep fasting. Keep studying. Keep getting trained so that when you do get called, you're ready. A great thing when you see a player go down on the field, not that's not great, but it's the guy behind is ready. Okay, get in there. And he's ready. It's interesting. Verse 3, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Verse 4, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. It's interesting how the church was involved in this. One of the evidences that you know you're called, ladies and gentlemen, is the church recognizes it. And you get called. Hey, can you come speak here? Hey, we need you over here. Can you help us with this mission training over here? Because they recognize what God has done in you. So don't be a baby about what calling is. Don't be stubborn and prideful and humanistic. But get after it. And maybe the Lord will call you. Maybe like Manan and Simeon and Lucius. Maybe it's at a later time. Paul had to wait about 10 to 15 years before he was called. I don't want this to discourage you. I just want you to know calling is pretty important. Let's pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would understand the concept of calling. In the meantime, we would train ourselves and get ready. So that when you call us to go on the field, we know the plays. We love you, Jesus. You're the best. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.